and welcome to Breitbart News Daily. We just ended the show with such. I don't even know how to describe what just happened. We got somehow into the existence of God, and a gentleman called in with the biggest question of life, and he explained the horrible life he had growing up, and asked, you know, why would God allow that suffering? It's the biggest question there is, I would say. And we had 20 seconds to answer. So now I'm just riddled with regrets about how we didn't have more time on that. But hopefully it was thought-provoking still if you were listening. It was at the very end of the show. So we talked a lot today about Transgender Day of Visibility. And I want to play one of those segments for you, too. We broke it up into two segments. The third hour of the show, if you subscribe to SiriusXM Patriot, you can listen to this. We talked about how we should respond to Transgender Day of Visibility. And it's not just this one thing. It's this whole LGBTQ everything. How should we respond to what they're doing, knowing that Saul Alinsky said the real action is the enemy's reaction. You're the enemy. So the real action with what we progressives are doing here is to get a rise out of you and then trap you based off of how you react to the thing we're doing. So knowing that, how should we respond? That's what we talked about in the third hour. Want to play for you this one, though. This one actually probably is a better follow-up. I kind of probably did it in the backwards order. But it's about why transgenderism is actually, to them, to the woke left, the true Easter. And this is why transgender people are the purest and wokest of all the intersectionalities. Morning. Happy Monday. Thanks for being here. Hope you had a wonderful Transgender Day of Remembrance or Visibility yesterday. This is Joe Biden. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. They deserve and are entitled to the same rights and freedoms as every other American, including the most fundamental freedom to be their true selves. But extremists like you are proposing hundreds of hateful laws that target and terrify transgender kids and their families, silencing teachers, banning books, even threatening parents, doctors, and nurses with prison for helping parents get care for their children. These bills attack the most basic American values, the freedom to be yourself, the freedom to make your own healthcare decisions, and even the right to raise your own child. Oh, this is good. It's no surprise that the bullying and discrimination that transgender Americans face is worsening our nation's mental health crisis, leading half of transgender youth to consider suicide in the past year. So it's not the confusion of whatever's going on in their life that makes them think that they're a different gender than the one they actually are. It's your bullying. Your bullying is causing them. And you must support everything they say and everything these woke people want. Otherwise, you are for murdering children. That was yesterday on Resurrection Sunday, Transgender Day of Visibility. Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, doubling down on that as well, ordering all the buildings to be lit up in light pink and light blue. Easter, which was the actual holiday that was yesterday, commemorates the most important event in human history. The linchpin of the entire Christian faith. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then Jesus would be just like Buddha or Muhammad. He would be some guy. But actually worse than just some guy. He'd be a liar and a lunatic. But he did rise from the dead, which makes him Lord. Rising from the dead is everything. People place a lot of emphasis on the Jesus dying part. That's fine. That's part of it. Like, in order to rise, you have to first die. But the rising part is the most important. Coming up at 8 o'clock, when we have a little more time, I want to go into detail as to why they're doing this, why they're pushing this. Biden didn't have to issue a proclamation for National Transgender Day of Visibility, but they did, and they did it for a reason. Don't think for a second that it slipped their minds that Sunday also happened to be Easter. Actually, at the top of the letterhead was the White House, picture of the White House with the Easter bunny on it. All right, so they knew that it also happened to be Easter. They knew what they were doing, and they know exactly why they're doing it. We need to know why they're doing it. And at 8 o'clock, about 30 minutes here, I'll tell you exactly why they're doing it. And then well, there's a clip of Raphael Warnock, which highlighted exactly why they're doing it as well. We'll do that. Coming up in just a little bit, Jeff is here. Jeff in West Virginia. Jeff, how you doing, sir?
Fine, Mike. How you doing today?
Doing really good. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? I just want to give you a quick call. I'm actually a pastor in Michigan. I serve a Four Winds Church in Livonia, Michigan. And I happened to serve with Tom Barrett in the State House. I ran for office back in 2017 and 18. That's when I was in 16 and served in 2017 and 2018 with Tom Barrett.
Nice.
Amazing man. And I really hope that he wins his seat. But I also just want to touch base on the fact that we actually addressed yesterday about this whole transgender day of visibility in the church, and kind of tied that into
good for
how
you.
People are just focused in the wrong direction, man. We're going the wrong direction. I referenced about Mary Magdalene when she was looking into the empty tomb when she just needed to turn around and see Jesus. So we had a great day. Of course, on Mondays you always do the celebration thing. So I was kind of just celebrating all of that. That we had a huge day and a wonderful opportunity, but that's basically what I was just checking with you about it,
hey.
Tom, and just this whole thing that we're fighting the good fight of faith, and that God has been good.
Well, there's no just basically. Let me say one thing, if you don't mind, Pastor. I went to your website here. It says our mission is God, love, Bible.
Yep.
Now, love to the left is. You're with me. Love has been perverted. So what do you do with that word?
Well, you know, I've looked at it this way, that if and I even said this, you know, if somebody comes into our church, you know, and has this mindset, I worry about people that are born male that want to be female, or females that want to be male. I think there's a lot more going on there than just a feeling. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, but you know, obviously, when the Bible says love your neighbor, and of course you've addressed this on your show before, the whole idea that loving your neighbor means you don't really have an option as to who that is. But at the same time, if you love someone enough, you're going to tell them the truth. You know, your children, if they go start heading toward the road or get out there in that pond where all those frogs are, then you're going to tell them to stay out of that pond because you love them. It's not a criticism. You're not trying to beat them down. You're trying to give them enough information to make a wise choice. And that's all we've tried to do at Four Winds. Now, when I ran for office, the left came after me with a vengeance, still do. Because we stand up for, you know, the sanctity of human life. We think that marriage should be one between one man and one woman for life. You know, all those biblical principles that, again, you talk about on a regular basis. But I think it's just the idea of people, and that's one of the reasons Four Winds has grown. You know, we were, during COVID, we were out like 5 weeks, and we said, no, we're going back to church. And the church has just exploded ever since then. Mm. But people are hungry for truth.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to hear this dribble that comes from the left day in and day out. And it just saddens me when I see some of the things that people are embracing. And like I said, it's not just about tolerance anymore. It's about actually forced to comply. And the only thing that I'm, you know, I'm mandated to do is love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, strength, and love my neighbors myself. And that's the thing that we're trying to do at Four Winds Church. So, yeah, God, love, and Bible. We base everything at the church around those three things. And keep it pretty simple.
Amen. Well, I'm going to let you go, but I'm one last question. I'm not going to force you to get in the middle of our marital spat. But are you pro frogs and crickets or against frogs and crickets?
You know, I'm one of those ones where my mind never shuts off. And one of the reasons that is because I love our people. And I pray for them, and I spend a lot of time in bed at night thinking about them. And so, but what I do is this is going to fly in the face of some of my conservative friends. I've got an Alexa that plays some soft music for me about 15 minutes at night, and I just go off to sleep, and that's that.
Are you not worried that the Chinese are shooting out some sort of mind control, like hypnotism?
The only thing they're going to hear in my bedroom is me snoring. I'm a widower, so just me. And, you know, I don't really sweat that kind of stuff. You know, there's so many other things to be worrying about. If they're listening to my snoring, well, I guess that's just on them. But I actually had a cleaning lady that was coming in and cleaning my house every 2 weeks, and she quit because she saw that I had an Alexa. And I'll get plenty of emails and stuff like, oh, it's all this stuff. You know what? I walk by faith, not by sight, just like you do. And, you know, I am not going to be all bowed up about that kind of a thing. But it's all good, and God is good, and we're just going to keep fighting that good fight. And you keep it up as well. I can't say I listen to your show every morning like most folks could call in, but I do listen on most mornings, and I'm just very thrilled about your biblical worldview and the fact that you're just telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And I think that's an important thing.
Pastor, appreciate you. Thanks, brother. This show, Hannity's thing, I don't know if he still does it, but he's we just want 3 hours a day. We need 3 hours a day for me. That's all we ask. And I always thought, man, that's a lot, 3 hours a day. I can't ask 3 hours. 3 hours a day out of someone's life? It seems like a lot. I mean, if you can listen most mornings, I think that'd be just wonderful. I don't, you know, it is 3 hours a day or you're dead to me. I'm like, oh man, if you can tune in like twice a week, I think that'd be really great. Really, really appreciate that. I don't know, like a half an hour maybe would be really nice. On the church growth thing, there was a while here where the churches that grew the fastest are the ones that were the flashiest and had the most expensive light displays and had the loudest music. I think, I don't know if this is true. I guess I'm just making this up, but I pray that the churches that will grow the fastest are the ones that don't hesitate to speak the truth. So coming up again in the next hour, I want to talk about how we should respond to Transgender Day of Visibility, because they're doing it on purpose. They know what they're doing, and so we need to know what they're doing. So we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. But why the transgender part? So progressives destroy things. This is what they do. It's their nature. So conservatives conserve. Progressives, in the name of progress, in the name of tolerance, in the name of love, destroy. They take what is good, beautiful, and true, and they tear it down in the name of progress. And there's a million examples. You can look at the quality of Renaissance art. The other day, the art of the week for, I forget which kid, was Michelangelo's Pieta, which I think is the most beautiful work of art ever. And I'm in front of the classroom freaking out about the Pieta. And it was the first time my kids looked at me and they were like aghast at my enthusiasm. Usually they roll their eyes at it. Like when I started coaching soccer this year, his soccer team, Jack said, Daddy, can you not sound like a train conductor? Which I thought was a pretty funny way of saying, Daddy, I'm embarrassed by the way you talk. So, but this time they're like, like Pieta is stunning. Don't get me started. But the point is, you look at the quality of Renaissance era art. And today, I don't know if there's anyone who even can paint like that, let alone sculpt the Pieta. Right now, I know Michelangelo's once, but there's a lot of Michelangelo's actually back then. I don't know if there's any people today. So the left destroys everything by nature is what they do. And we've talked before about how every holiday has been secularized. Every single holiday. Christmas, Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day, that one even has the word saint in it. Halloween, that has the word hallow in it. These all used to be religious holidays. Easter is now about bunnies and eggs. Candy, right? So they've all been secularized. There's no question. But this one, making it Transgender Day of Visibility, like at least Columbus Day, they turned it into Indigenous Peoples Day. And there's a connection there. Like, I get that, right? Like Columbus discovered the New World. So we're going to celebrate Christopher Columbus. And they're like, no. The Indigenous peoples were here first. So we're going to celebrate them instead. And you're like, okay, I see what you did there. But what is this connection between Easter and the transgenders? Like that's totally off. But the reality is it has everything to do. It's perfect. It's perfect. 2 points to make. And before I make them, I want to go to Brian, who's in Tennessee. Brian, good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Mike. Great. How are you this morning?
Great to talk to you, my man. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to say, I was brought up in the church, and I am very happy with your Christian worldviews. And, you know, I've left the church for a while, and hearing every morning how you bring the politics back to God has got me trying to get the whole family back in church, which is where we should have been. And I know that's my fault, but I really want to commend you on that, man.
Well, that's the greatest thing I could ever, it's the greatest compliment one could ever give. I'm super grateful for that. What is it? Not about me, but what is it that you felt the yearn for, the longing or the pull? Like what is it? Or the uneasiness, or what was going on?
To get back, because you see how everybody's gone with media, and it's all world. It's all this filth and junk, and then you see how your kids are starting to react to that, and you're like, man, I can't have them go down that path. They need God. The country needs God, and that's going to be the only way we get back on track.
Brian, I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. How long have you been going back?
I've been back for about 2 months now.
That's great. Enjoying it? Have you noticed?
Sunday,
have you?
And every Wednesday for 18 years.
Say that last part again. Sorry.
I went to church every Sunday morning and night and Wednesday night for 18 years.
What do you think? Why did you stray aside from that, do you think, in the 18 years ago?
I think it had a lot to do with rebellion as an 18-year-old and your first taste of freedom.
Sure.
And the fact that it was so forced on me, but I didn't understand why when I was that young. And now, being older and seeing what's out there in the world, I understand why I was forced out there and how quickly you can get down a slope that seems insurmountable to get back up to get to where you need to be.
That's right. That's right. That's great. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling in, man.
Absolutely,
thanks for
buddy.
Spreading that word. I really appreciate that. Your children are thanking you. How far can I go? I'll do this quick. So one of the things, part of the process of me becoming a Christian, I've been a Christian for like 10 years, is evolution. Once I started reading up about evolution and what a crock that is, like the whole thing started crumbling for me. I was like, oh, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, is evolution nonsense. So then I learned more about like the fine tuning of the universe, and you're like, okay, well, clearly there's a God. And it's like, okay, well, what does this God say? And then I went to our founders, and I was like, okay, what did our founders say about this God, and how did that relate to our country? And that's kind of was my path. And then when things are like weird, as they are now, I love Jeremiah 6:16, when God says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. Like, I love that. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. That's in the Bible too. And look for the ancient paths. It's all been done before. That's like so refreshing, is that we don't have to come up with anything new. Hence conservatives. Like we just have to reclaim what was. And isn't that wonderful? Like, we don't have to sit around and think of how to do it. There are ancient paths. And that those ancient paths are good. And what happens when you walk in it? It says you will find rest for your souls. We live in a society that is anxious. We're anxious. And what we need more than anything is rest. We need rest for our souls. So we got to look for those ancient paths, whether they go back to our founding fathers or you want to go even before that. There is the way, the good way to walk, and you will find rest with your soul. And hopefully you find so much rest that you can put your head on your pillow at night in silence. Maybe a couple frogs croaking and fall right asleep. That's the goal. Welcome back to Breitbart News Daily. Thanks for being here. Tom Barrett, running for Congress in Michigan, in Lansing. Big district here. It's a city. Very good chance of winning this. And as Tom said, more money is being spent here than almost anywhere else in the country. And it's in Michigan, which is a state that obviously Trump needs to win. Great to talk to Tom Barrett. Tom, I pressed the wrong button. Is Tom there properly? There you go, Tom. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sorry for the dramatic intro. I pressed the wrong button.
No, that's okay.
Thanks for being here.
Having me on.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. So we have 217 days left, Tom. 217 days until the big day. What are we doing to win? How are we going to win this thing?
Yeah. Well, we're making every single one of them count. Like you said, you know, every day between now and Election Day, we have to get up every morning and ask ourselves, what can we do today to make sure that we reclaim our country? And that's why I'm running for Congress, is looking at the world we live in today and recognizing that this is unsustainable for America. I tell people in my district, right in the heart of mid-Michigan, we don't have a lot of last chances left in America because we've used a lot of them up. And we have to make this election count. The circumstances are really severe, and everything happening in the country and the direction that the radical left has taken us under this Biden failed administration is something that is unsustainable and unrecoverable, and we have to put it in check. So we have to do everything we can. It really, you can't understate the seriousness and the scope of what we're facing in the country right now.
How can a Republican win a city? How are you going to win a congressional seat in Lansing, where in 2020, Biden won 65-33? But you did better than that in 2020. But how are we going to win this seat?
Well, the district goes beyond just the city of Lansing itself. And this district, the 7th Congressional District in Michigan, is actually ranked as the most competitive open congressional district in America today.
Wow.
It is going to be ground zero in November for control of Congress for the upcoming term. And it's a choice that we have. Are we going to continue down the direction that we're heading? Or are we going to hold Joe Biden accountable? Are we going to reverse the Biden policies and finally bring about some sanity in our country? In Michigan right now, we have this horrible issue going on. A young woman was just killed in Grand Rapids, adjacent to the district that I'm running in, by an illegal immigrant that was deported under President Trump, re-entered our country, and tragically just killed a young woman about a week or two ago in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is something that is happening in America, and we can't allow it to take place. Joe Biden's allowed nearly 9 million illegal border crossings into our country, which is almost equal to the population of the entire state of Michigan. So we have to put this in check. Everybody knows what it takes to secure the border. It takes willpower, and that's what I'm going to bring to Congress when I'm elected. People can go to my website, tombarrettforcongress.com, see a little bit more about why I'm running and the importance of this race and the really substantial significance of the district that I'm running in this year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But pretty much every candidate we talk to has a story of an illegal alien murdering someone. But that's like a common thing no matter where you are across the country. So I just Googled that because I haven't heard of that Grand Rapids story. And this is great. The Detroit News, Michigan Republicans. So you're the subject. Michigan Republicans seek to capitalize on migrant crime. So it's a Republicans pounce story. You're taking advantage of this situation.
They actually went further. The Detroit News said that this was the crime Republicans were seeking. And it's like, no, we didn't bring this about. We were not seeking this. For us to call out this failure is entirely appropriate for us to do. And yet the Detroit News and the rest of the media, first they called this a Grand Rapids man, you know, charged with murder. And then they later identified that this man was in the country illegally, had previously been deported even. And now they're saying it's the crime that Republicans were seeking, as if we brought this about.
Wow, that's great.
We were the ones that were to blame for this. And it is so insulting. And it, you know, the media and the way they characterize this just shows their bias and their intent here. They never, ever want to hold those responsible accountable for their behaviors.
Yeah, I'm talking to Tom Barrett. He's running for Congress in Michigan, a state that we obviously need to win. I'm sure you've seen the clip of Rachel Maddow and a couple of the gals on MSNBC talking about an exit poll of Virginia. And the Republicans of Virginia said that the border is the biggest issue to them. And they chuckled/cackled at that because it's not on the border. And I think it was Maddow who said, oh, well, they have a border with West Virginia. But this is an issue in Michigan still.
Yeah, it is. Every town in America is a border town. And again, this reeks of the just elitism that is poisoning American culture right now by these hyper elite, you know, know everything liberal media personalities like Rachel Maddow. They just simply want to slap regular Americans in the face and say, how dare you think you know anything that we don't know? It's like when Biden goes out there and, you know, tries to tell people, hey, stupid, the economy's the best it's ever been. Like, why don't you, you know, get on board with this? And regular Americans are saying, listen, you know, my grocery bill is 20 or 25% higher than it was just a few years ago. You know, we have an increase in crime. In Michigan, we had a more than 60% increase on assault on police officers in our state. It was the highest increase they had ever measured in the highest number they had ever accounted for since they've been tracking this for decades now. So these are real things that are happening, yet the liberal media wants to tell you that none of it is going on and that you're an idiot for feeling this way. It is why we have to send a rebuke of that policy to Washington. It's why, you know, my race and others across this country are so important. We have President Trump coming to Grand Rapids tomorrow for a press conference about what has happened in Michigan. And in the best the media will tell you is this is the crime that Republicans were seeking, which is just so insulting. And it just, I can't understate how serious it is.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Barrett running for Congress in Lansing. So every once in a while, there'll be a tiny, tiny part of me that's like, oh, it'd be pretty neat to be in Congress. And then I snap out of it real fast. But the idea that are you ever annoyed that when you win, you're going to be running in a seat every 2 years that will always be hyper close? You know what I mean? Like, aren't you jealous of the guy in Alabama who could just win with 80% of the vote forever?
Yes, absolutely. But I will tell you, I have a little practice at this. A decade ago, I was elected to the state House of Representatives in Michigan, defeated a Democrat incumbent by like the second closest margin in the entire state. I had one of the most competitive districts in the state. But I looked at it as a real opportunity and a real challenge because I said, I can go out and do this. And when I win this seat, I'm going to stop bad policy from happening. And I'm going to add to the numbers of people that want to bring our country into the right direction. And when I did this in the state legislature, I was reelected by a sizable margin in my reelection and then was later elected to the Michigan Senate. You know, it kind of goes back to my background to a degree. I did 22 years in the United States Army. I felt that was a calling that I wanted to continue to serve our country and do hard things along the way because I believe I can do hard things and I want to do those because they matter. And having that sense of purpose is what really motivates me to go out there and do this. Because if it didn't matter, I wouldn't want to do it and I wouldn't put myself or my family through it because this is important and we can't let this opportunity go by to try and bring about a correction and a change in our country.
What is the layout of the race right now? The current congressperson there, Slotkin, she's running for Senate, right? And we talked to Mike Rogers last week or the week before. So open seat. That has to bode better. But who's the Democrat who's running in this seat?
So the current incumbent, Alyssa Slotkin, is running for the U.S. Senate, which then makes this an open seat this year and, again, elevates it as the most competitive open seat in the country. The current Democrat, who's unchallenged in his primary, is a former state lawmaker, a 22-year-long career politician. So you have my background, 22 years Army, and his background as a 22-year-long career politician. He's been a top lieutenant of Gretchen Whitmer, our extreme Democratic governor here in Michigan. She's doing everything she can to help him get elected in this seat. It really brings into focus the importance of what we're facing in this race. His record is one where he's signed a non-disclosure agreement with a Chinese-backed company in Michigan to build one of these electric vehicle battery plants right in the backyard of one of our military installations in Michigan. He's supported soft on crime policies that have would allow offenders to get out of prison before they've even completed their minimum sentence. You know, there's a variety of real contrast issues. He supported sanctuary cities. Lansing, Michigan was one of the first cities in Michigan to become a sanctuary city, and my opponent fully endorsed and supported that. So these are the types of policy differences between the two of us that we need to really remind voters of in this election and allow them to make the choice of which they would rather see.
Is this Curtis Hertel?
Yes, sir.
Hurdle. How do you pronounce his name?
Hertel.
So tell me about this electric vehicle China story. So it was like a week, as it was last week. So I don't know why I'm like in like a weird time vortex. I don't know, like I've like lost all procession of time. But I think it was last week when Biden announced these new electric vehicle standards. And you're like, oh, that is the dumbest politics ever. 200 days before an election where the Michigan vote for president is decided by like 20,000 votes. Like, how could he possibly be doing that? And I think the best calculus I could come up with is he thinks that will rally up the base, and you need the base, but man, that seems really risky in Michigan.
Yeah, the base is hemorrhaging for Biden across the country, and here in Michigan in particular. He had more than 100,000 uncommitted votes in the presidential primary in Michigan about a month ago with, you know, very little organization. This effort got started quite late, and they still had more than 100,000 uncommitted votes in a state that was separated in 2016 by only about 10,000 votes. So it is, you know, really substantial, the problem he's facing. And you're right, these mandates that he's pushing out just slap in the face of UAW and other auto manufacturing jobs in our state. Michigan has one of the lowest rates of electric vehicle registration of any state in the union. We're at the very low end of that. And I think a large part is certainly our climate and the reliability of vehicles when the weather gets cold. But the other part is our robust auto manufacturing that takes place in our state, and the Biden administration mandate slap in the face of that. But the bigger concern with this battery plant coming from China is the national security concerns and issues that arise from that. They're literally taking nearly $200 million in state tax money to give it to the Chinese for them to come here and do us the pleasure of building a battery plant in our backyard. And Leon Panetta, Barack Obama's own CIA director, has really questioned this, claiming that it will be a massive national security concern that we have to address. So even Democrats are stepping forward to identify the national security concerns with this. Meanwhile, my opponent goes out and signs a non-disclosure agreement while he's a sitting member of the state legislature, voting on the appropriation to send them money, signs a non-disclosure agreement over this project. The only non-disclosure agreement I have ever signed in my life was with the United States government for my security clearance in the Army.
Yeah, wait, what is that? What
illustrates the difference between the two of us?
What is it? I mean, why would he? Who's in the non-disclosure agreement with? I don't get that. I've never heard of that in the political realm.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I had never heard. It shocked me when I learned of it as well. But they were going over confidential negotiation details relative to the project being built at the exact same time the state legislature was debating sending an appropriation, cash on the table, to bribe this company to come to our state. So it really has not only national security challenges, but it also has ethical problems attached to it as well.
Yeah, the idea that you would need to, first of all, we could talk about whether the government should be giving subsidies to any company for moving anywhere. Okay, whatever. But the idea that we should be doing that to a Chinese company, like that's crazy.
I know.
I don't mean to keep pushing, but like, so he signed a non-disclosure agreement as he was he serving under the capacity of being in the state legislature?
He was, yeah. He was a state senator at the time, signed this non-disclosure agreement over this deal. And then later, following that, as soon as he left office, a little less than a year and a half ago, went to work as Governor Whitmer's legislative director and lobbyist and continued that non-disclosure arrangement and actually lobbied to get this project done and for the dollars to be appropriated to bring this battery plant with severe national security concerns attached to it.
I've never heard of that. Is there any other scenario where someone, a politician, did that? Like, that's the opposite of, like, you could not come up with a better definition of the opposite of transparent than non-disclosure agreement.
Right. I know. Yes. They completely, they are the exact opposite of any type of transparency. And
that's wild.
Until these projects were taking place, this is a program I had voted against, took a lot of, you know, heat for voting against the arrangement that was done to do these projects because I felt that they would lead to these ethical concerns. I voted against the organization of this program to begin with. And until that was happening, that was the first time I had ever heard of politicians signing non-disclosure agreements with private entities for money that they were going to be appropriated. Just can't make it up. It's shocking.
Let alone a Chinese one. With Tom Barrett, he's running for Congress in Lansing, a state, obviously Michigan, that we need to win. We talked with Bernie Moreno a couple weeks ago, Tom. I think it was the day before the Ohio primary. He's running for Senate there. And it was tied. The average polls had him completely tied. It was like, I was like 27.4 to 27.5. So like, as high as you can get almost. And then he won by 18 points. Wow. It's like wow. What in the world? I credit that with his appearance on the show, naturally, obviously.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Correlation and causation.
How could we? What else could you explain it to?
Right.
So, but what's up with Ohio? And how Ohio went from a blue state to a very red state. And Michigan went from a blue state to like a real toss-up. And how do we keep moving in that direction? What happened?
Yeah, so I think it really represents, you know, the cultural shift going on in these Midwestern states that have been overlooked for so long and taken for granted by these extreme liberal Democratic politicians that don't care about ordinary Americans, our way of life, our issues and concerns, the cultural dynamics that we're witnessing, the woke indoctrination of our schools, of our military, of every institution. And then the cost of living challenges that Americans are facing, and then the laugh in our face Rachel Maddow moments that really just, you know, just bring about a real cause for concern by people just like my wife and I and our family. I mean, we're raising four kids in mid-Michigan, and, you know, we see our grocery bill go up. We see other issues that are brought about by the failures of this administration, whether it's Gretchen Whitmer or Joe Biden. And we can't let it go by. We simply can't ignore it any longer. And I think more and more Midwestern Americans in places like Ohio and Michigan are waking up to that. This district that I'm running in really encompasses not just these urban areas of Lansing and East Lansing, so to speak, but also rural communities outside of that. And you're seeing this building momentum. And the polling that we've done have shown me with a lead in this race, certainly not anything that we can take for granted, but one that shows that this is beginning to shift in our direction. And we need to take advantage of that opportunity and really drive home the messaging in this race because it is that serious and that significant.
When I first moved to Tennessee, they were still voting for blue dog Democrats down here. And I heard all the time, I heard people say, my daddy would be spinning in his grave if he knew I voted for a Republican. And I just found that so odd. Do you have that sentiment in Michigan?
Well, I can tell you a personal story. My great-grandfather, a man that I never met because he died, you know, a couple decades before I was born, was actually an elected member of Congress, was a Democrat from Michigan, and he is best remembered, right, as a Democrat, added the words "under God" to our Pledge of Allegiance 70 years ago this year in 1954. Wow. We named my youngest son after my great-grandfather. He was a congressman named Louis Rabo from the Detroit area of Michigan, served in Congress a number of years, and really, you know, something that we're very proud of in my family is that he added "under God" to our Pledge of Allegiance, a lasting, you know, legacy that we're very proud of. And he was a Democrat, and now, you know, you see Democrats want to remove that or remove the Pledge of Allegiance entirely from our cultural lexicon, and you know, it really shows a trend in their party that's gone in that direction, and something that, you know, I can never predict what people would have done if they had been alive a different time or anything like that. I can tell you that it leaves those of us that are here now to really carry the mantle and do what we can for our country so that our kids and the generations that follow have an America to go out and fight for like I did when I joined the Army as a teenager almost 25 years ago now.
So are you suggesting that your grandfather would not have voted for Transgender Day of Visibility?
I don't even think he would have known what that was. I had to Google it.
That's right.
And I'm living in the present.
last question for you, sir. I heard a Michigan fact the other day, which I found quite astounding. And that is that Michigan State has gone to the March Madness tournament 26 years in a row. That's pretty astounding.
Mm-hmm. That's called Tom Izzo. Yeah,
that's right. Is he going to be the coach forever? Because as soon as Jim Boeheim left Syracuse, I don't even know if they have a basketball team anymore. So is he?
I mean, he's a legend, and everybody in Michigan, I mean, even those that aren't Spartan fans, have the highest respect for Tom Izzo and what he's done at Michigan State, because you can't deny something, a legacy of that nature and everything. So it's something that we're certainly very proud of here in Michigan, and certainly proud of to represent a community. My former district included much of the greater Lansing area as well, and this congressional district that I'm running in would include Michigan State, and it's something that we're very proud of.
Nice. Tom Barrett, running for Congress. Where can people support your campaign, sir?
Yeah, TomBarrettForCongress.com. This was the most expensive congressional district in America 2 years ago.
Jeez.
More than $35 million in total spending. We need all the help we can get. We're in the lead, but that is nothing that we can take for granted, because the Democrats are going to spend millions of dollars in this race, and we simply can't let them take this race with the millions from the billionaires in California and New York. If people can go to my website and pitch in, TomBarrettForCongress.com, we would certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk a few times before the big day.
That would be great. Thank
appreciate
you so
Tom.
Much for having me on.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. This is like the race, right? This is the big congressional race. Plus, you get a good a bump for Tom Barrett specifically, and then you're going to get, obviously, a Trump bump, and we can win Michigan, which was decided by like 20,000 votes last go around. So this one's a no-brainer and a much higher potential to win because it's now an open seat. So there's no incumbent. Tom Barrett won. He ran last go around. So he's got the name recognition in Lansing and all that. So that's a big potential flip here in Lansing, in a city, which would be great, obviously.
I'm American made. I got American parts.
On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk to the opinion editor at Newsweek. Her new book, Second Class: How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I got